Look at the Heilige Mishnah, the Daf Kuf.
Amachalit Parot HaFamot V'yalda. If somebody now does an act of chalipin, because it's an act of chalipin, nobody has to be near the animal that it was milchah for. So now this Pora has given birth, and nobody was near the Pora when it gave birth, possibly. Or they could have been near the Pora when it gave birth, but the point is it didn't need to be any act of mishicha on the Pora. Same thing would be true, just here you don't need chalipin, you can have a sale, because since those are prone to a shivcha, so just in purchasing the shivcha, it would be possible not to, you don't need to pick her up, and therefore it would be possible not to know. So in the case where both claim to know, one says, Avshalom Machayti, the Zelma Misha Lakachti. The other one says, the birth took place after I had already purchased it. So now the question is, who does the child belong to? The child belong to the owner of the Chamor, or does the child belong to the owner of the Pora? So the din is, surprisingly, Rachloku, to split it. Crowd is here, you can give him the truth. Correct. But even for Simchus, it's a surprise, as we'll see. Ayulu Shnei Avadim. The man had two servants that he was selling. Echad Gadol v'Echad Katan. And Shtei Sadot. Echad Gadola v'Echad Katana. Arateach Omer Gadol Akach. Rivalo Omer Eni Odea. Here the buyer claims that he knows for a fact that it was the larger field that had been purchased. The seller says, I don't remember. So in that case, he's zaka de gadol. He would be zoka in the larger field. If the moher says, I definitely sold you the small field, and the other one says, well, I'm not sure. So then emar ala katan. If both of them swear that they, if both of them claim that they know, zomer gadol, zomer katan, yishava ha moher shakatan machai, and let the seller swear that he sold the smaller one. And none of this makes sense on the surface, and tomorrow we'll go into it. Zalmer any of their, Zalmer any of their, both of them claim that they don't know, Yachloku, then it should be split. So let's start with the first case. Amai Yachloku. First of all, the case of the Chalipin and the Sola, why don't we just see in whose Rishus the birth took place? If the Rishus took place still in the yard of the original owner, so then you would be a Motzi Mechavero. So why don't we say, let's say Rishus to Mankaima. Let's see in whose Rishus it was. Velavi, Yiracha Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya. Let the other one be a Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya. Now, as this points out, this question doesn't make much sense because there's no such thing as a Cheskas More based on positioning on Godrot. Godrot or anything that move about. Since these things move about, it wouldn't have defined a chazaka anyway, in terms of who the shus it's in, correct? It's very strange to ask this question. If I have a sheep in my rishus, and I'm not known to be the owner of that sheep, and somebody who is known to be the owner, was the last registered owner, was someone that's seen him buy it, says that's my sheep, and you say, well, I must have been a hell of a riot, you say, no way, buddy. My sheep obviously wandered into your field. I mean, there's no din of there, must have been a hell of a riot. Why over here would there be a din of a Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya just because it happened to give birth there, wherever it is?
Because
it doesn't matter. Yeah, it was a transaction. We don't know when the birth took place. And what it's claiming out would be a Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya based on whose rishus it's in. Why would that be? This is a Godros. There's no Motzi Mechavero Olav Araya on Godros. Okay? The animal may have wandered into the other ones and should have been given birth. I mean, what does it prove that it's there? So Tosis explains that because of the situation that we have over here, which is a situation of Dror de Mamona. Dror de Mamona means where there's an innate question as to what happened, even if no one has laid any claim. Knowing that a transaction takes place, we ourselves, the Bezdin, would have to raise the question as to who the owner is. It makes no difference what they said. And because we know a change took place and we know a transaction took place. Furthermore, we have over here a Tanaz Bori together with the Dror de Mamona. In that case, we wouldn't have been Motzei Mirashuso because of the fact of Godros. In other words, when do we say Godros is not a Chazaka? Where we first have a clear-cut established owner. But where you have a situation of Dror de Mamona that argues against the clear case established owner, then the Godros at least is the question of who right now is in physical control of the animal, and you would still be on Motzim Mechavel of Arai. So it's a difference. Mutzim is being metallic from the concept of Hamotzi Mechavel of Arai in a physical sense, and Hamotzi Mechavel of Arai in a legal sense. So that the Rishur should establish ownership indeed would not apply over here, because this is right, because it's Godros. But that, in effect, since you have two tainas borei with the drawer of the Mamona, so that there's no reason to assume anything, then there's also a reason to just leave things alone. If you expect the court to act, then you'll have to give sufficient reason why the court should act. And that's what the Gemara's question is. The cases would be that the para was at pasture outdoors in a public area marsh probably good. Shivka nami the kind of the same time. The Shivka was talking about that it was standing in an area that was off of Rishon Sarabim and that didn't belong to anyone in particular. Okay, that's all very nice. But we also know, forget about physical placement, we also know there was an original owner of this part. We know who the original owner was. Up until that time, the embryo was in Rishon to that owner. So then look at the Morakamo. Thing is, we've established ownership over here from before. You now want to go ahead and change the ownership based on the sale, on the chalipin. So you have to prove that the ownership was changed. If you can't prove the ownership was changed, it should remain in the shift of the original owner. Not a chazak of place, a chazak of ownership. So why are we being motzi it? Says the Gemara, how many sumtas? This is obviously going according to something, our Mishnah, and therefore, since there is a suggestion over here, innately, that there's a problem with defining the ownership, it's something that doesn't hold up a Motzi Mechavel of Arai in such cases. And he says, we split without coming to any case of a square. Well, wait a minute. Sumpas only said that. I mean, the classical case of Sumpas we had before Mabukama was where, in fact, there was a damage, and it wasn't clear whether the damaging animal was pregnant at the time of the damage, and therefore you could collect also from the child, whether the child had been born before, or vice versa, whether the damaged animal had given birth before, whether it had given birth because of the damage. Remember that Mishnah? That case was a case in which neither party was present. It was a case of Shem Lashana. Each one says, well, how do I mean, maybe it wasn't pregnant at the time of the damage. You can't collect from the child, right? That's where Sumpas said is aloha. And he was on the Sumpas for Shema Vashema. I mean, that's where you've got a situation of Shema Vashema. But how do you know in our case, where it says the fair, each one says, well, I know that this is the case. Did Sumpas ever say that you can simply do chelik money without a shvua and we don't say a mitzvah of araya or whatever other mechanisms might be necessary? Niyama? Fact is that Sumpas does hold of yachloku in such cases, even in a case of bari bari. Now, because machlokas is shown him in the Rosh points out over here in Tosfos that you see the Gemara never uses the word ella. Right? Doesn't say ella hamani Sumpas. Doesn't say, well, okay, forget about all our arguments until this point. Forget about everything we said about it standing in the middle of an agam and everything else. Going according to Sumpas, and that's why. Because it doesn't say ella. The mashma'ut is that those limitations stand. In other words, it says hamani Sumpas. Mashma that we still agree that it's on that is begam, by agam. And that Sumpas, in such a case, also would not have said that this takes the place of Motzi Mechavel of Arai, you see? In terms of Mukhsak. He also would have agreed, if somebody would have been Mukhsak, then Sumpas would also have agreed in such a case of Bari Babari, that you would have to go and bring a riot to be Motziat Mirashuz. So says the Rosh. Others argue anything. It's an important beat in a Gemara because of the whole money. So that means even according to Rabba Bar Avuna, when Sumpas is saying Bari Babari, he'd be saying Bari Babari only in the case where it's not a Motzi from the Rishus of the other person. Rava Omar? Rava says, no. Sumpas, of course, is limited to saying Yachlok in the case of Shema Veshema. Abba Babari Babari Lo Omar. And what you'll have to do is you'll have to amend the Mishnah to read Ze Omer Ad Shalom Mefarti, meaning Ze Omer Shema Ad Shalom Mefarti. In other words, the Mishnah is taking for granted that being as the case with Hamaklis, why are we saying Hamaklis? We're saying Hamaklis because nobody needed to be present. That's the point when you're doing Chalitah. So okay, so nobody really knows at what point. So each one is saying, well, I mean, I'm ready to say that it was in my rishus. Well, I'm ready to say it's in my rishus. I mean, but nobody really knows. So in essence, the Mishnah is postulating a case of Shema. So to me, Zelma Shema Achelo Makarti, Zelma Shema Misha Makarti. Now, wait a minute. Read the last line of the Mishnah. By the case of the Eved Katan, or the Sada. Ze Omer Eini Yodea, Ze Omer Eini Yodea. The last case of the Mishnah is talking about a case where the people say, I'm not sure. Yach Loku. Now, according to Rava, I understand that the Sefer that says Shema V'Shema is a case similar to the case in the Reisha of Shema V'Shema. I don't have a problem with that. But according to Rabba Baravuna, who said that Sufis is willing to even go so far as saying Bori Vabori, if the Mishnah begins saying with the Bori Vabori Yachloku, then obviously Hashem of Hashem Yachloku. What would be the point of saying the last case? Mm-hmm. If we have two cases of Hashem of Hashem, you could say, okay, the last case wants to address the Sada and Eva, which have different dinim because they're Karka. But if you're telling me that the second case is talking about Hashem of Hashem, the first case is talking about Bori Vabori, and you got to ask yourself, if it's told me already a Kiddush or Bori Vabori, why would it switch to Shema V'Shema? Shema V'Shema is always blessed. We know that they have Simchas by Shema V'Shema. What's new in this mission is that Simchas would say Yach Loku even in a Bori Vabori, according to the way Rabba was learning here. Rabba Baruch was learning. So the Gemara Imishum Holo Ayah. If that's your only complaint against Rabba Baruch, it's not a riot. Because sometimes the Mishnah does that. The Tana Sefer Legilui Eresha. Sometimes a Mishnah will write a case in the Sefer to make it clear that the case of what the case of the Eresha is. Because if it hadn't said the case in the Sefer, you would have amended the Eresha to be the way Rava said to amend it. But then, when you come to the Sefer, you ask yourself, well, what's the point? So therefore, in order Shalot Tomar Reisha Shema V'Shema Avabori V'Bori Lo, in order that you shouldn't make the mistake that Rava is making of saying that the Reisha Shema V'Shema, but not Bori V'Bori, therefore we tell you in the Sefer case of Shema V'Shema, so that you would say to yourself, well, what do I need two cases of Shema V'Shema? It must be that the Reisha is Bori V'Bori, and nonetheless, a Pilachi Yach Loku. Nonetheless, the deal is that you would have to split it. So therefore, Rabba Baravuna can fit in his pshat as well. There's two approaches to the Mishnah. Now, Tanan, the Mishnah then goes in and says, Zelmer Gadol v'Zelmer Katan, Yishava Mochesh HaKatan Machat. Let the seller swear that he only sold the Katan, and then he would have to accept that Katan. Now, Bishlan or Rabba, according to Rabba, who said Tzumkas was only talking about a case of Shema V'Shema, and not a case of Bori Vabori, then this being a case of Bori Vabori, Tzumkas withdraws from the fray, and we're left with a Yishava. But according to Rabba Baravuna, who says Tzumkas is willing to say Yach Loku even in a case of Bori Vabori, why is this case any different than the opening case of the Parah that gave birth? If Tzumkas is ready to say even Bori, so here too, my Yishava Mocher, Yach Loku Yibori. It should have said they simply split it. Why does he have to swear to it? As we will see shortly, Tzumkas is moda in a case where midiraisa, you've got a moda b'miksa situation. That once you've got a moda b'miksa situation and you're chayav b'shvua, that you definitely are going to have to take the shvua. He's only talking about a case where no shvua kicks in. If no shvua kicks in, what do we do? There he says yach loku. But as we are about to see, this case, surprisingly, of the Soda Kotten and the Soda Gadol, is a case of Shvua, which is by no means evident. But the Gemara is going to show that it is by analyzing the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah goes on to say, Hayulo Shnei Avadim, Echad Gadol V'Echad Katan. It says that he should swear. Now, I have three reasons why that's wrong. He shouldn't swear. Three reasons. First of all, he shouldn't swear because the dinner motive that makes us is only when I am agreeing to part of what it is. Look, if my kids went to your house so that you could be at Tafiyomi, then you have to stay up. Oh, so how'd you come to Tafiyomi? Oh, well, then you can go back to sleep. Well, they tried to go to your house, I think, didn't they? Okay. Yes, it's a good sign that your wife is back. Not necessarily. Okay. There are other anesthesiologists around. Okay. There's three good reasons not to swear, as I said. One is that the only time that you say motive and mitzvah is when we're talking about the same thing, not when we're talking past each other. So in other words, if I say you owe me $100 and you say, no, I only owe you $50. And we're talking about an amount of money that we're arguing about. If I say that the container was filled all the way to the top when I gave it to you and you say, no, it was only filled halfway. Fine. So we're talking about the same thing. If I say I bought a property in New York and you say, no, I sold you a property in San Francisco, you ain't talking about the same thing. And that's what's going on over here. You're saying, I sold you field A. You say, no, you sold me field B. Why is that a motive of a mix-up? You don't look at the value of the fields. You look at the items. It's two completely different things. They're talking past each other. That's number one. Number two, this is not a case of a shvuah because you never swear on karka and you never swear on avodah. So both of the two cases don't make any sense because it says the farish in the Torah. We have miyutah to say not to swear on karka. So that's out. So it's another reason why the Mishnah makes no sense. And the third reason the Mishnah makes no sense is because when you're talking about a motive of mikzah, and we saw that at least according to one shita, halach is never included. Now halach means when you present the item that the other guy is talking about. You're not talking about tashlum. You're not saying, no, I owe you 50. You're saying, here it is. This is the field I told you. Now what are you saying? Oh, you're saying it's that. Fine, so then we're arguing about that. This is yours. I mean, here it is. You'll take it. So if you're talking about a guy coming into court who says, well, no, I owe you something else. Now we're going to discuss that in court. That's the case where you have a shvu on a motive of mitzvah. But if you have a guy who presents what it is that belongs to the other fellow, and he says, hey, look, here it is, and I'm not arguing about it. So now we're only arguing about the other elements, and then it's not a motive of mitzvah anymore. So this is a case of halach. So for three reasons, this Mishnah makes no sense. Number one, amayi shava, masha ta'ano lo hodalo, masha hodalo lo ta'ano. What it is that this guy is demanding, this guy did not admit to. What this guy admitted to, this guy never said that he was wanted part of it. So they're talking cross purpose. Furthermore, this is a case of halach. Furthermore, enish boyin al avadim. So none of this makes sense. Omar Rav, the Tano dummy, talking about, even though it says a field, Rav says it doesn't really mean a field. It means the value of a field. In other words, what happened was, the guy comes along and he says, I paid you for field A. And he says, well, I never sold you field A. It's okay, fine. So give me back my money. He says, well, the problem is the money you gave me was for field B, which was half the size. So it was $50,000. He says, no, I gave you $100,000. Now they're arguing about money. They're arguing about money, then we can forget about all of our questions, right? And it's a typical case of motive and mixes of things. So in that case, we're talking about dummy. Dmei Evet Gadol, the other side is Dmei Evet Katan, or one says Dmei Sadeh Gadol, one says Dmei Sadeh Katana. Shmuel says, I mean, come on, it doesn't say that. And if it's, then what would be the point anyway of having two cases, one of a Dmei Sadeh and one of a Dmei Evet? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Therefore, says Shmuel, the case is, B'tohano Kut Evet Gadol, Kut Evet Katan, Omare Sadeh Gadolan, Omare Sadeh Katana. What it's talking about is that the sale that they're arguing about was how many omarim. In other words, one said it was the produce of field X, which is not the field, 100 bushels. The other said, no, it was the produce of field Y, 50 bushels. Fine, okay, so they're arguing about bushels.
It doesn't say that either.
More or less, Scott. And it's also talking about the clothing that was suited for an Evet Gadol, or the clothing that was suited for an Evet Katan, so that they're arguing, now this is a little bit of a problem, and they're arguing again about two different things. I mean, a size 48 suit or a size 38 suit is not a half of a size 48 suit, obviously, at least last time I have it. So, says the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? Sure, that doesn't help us at all. You still have the problem of Mashatano lo Hodalo, Mashatano lo Tano. Well, we'll see later on, like what Papa said, it's talking about the Dialsi. It's talking about where we have additional pieces added on over here. In other words, the question is, well,
expandable suit.
Expandable suit, yeah, I can say that. So we're... Okay, so the question is, at what point do we pull off the last layer over there, you know? So that'll be this case too. But nonetheless, Rabosha says, now wait a second over here. It doesn't say anything about that. Last I learned how to read, an Eved means an Eved, and a Sada means a Sada. And so it's a Midi. Truth Katani, Eved Katani. It doesn't say anything about truth. Therefore, says Rabosha, if you want to say Shmuel's Pshat, I mean, what you got to say is that the demand and the rejection was about an Eved in a suit and a Soda that had Omarim. That's the point. So now the issue is, being as there exists a component over here that is Karka and a component that's Metaltalim, since I have to swear on the Metaltalim component, I can force you along with the Metaltalim to swear with the concept of Zofikin. Once I have to swear on one thing, I can be Mizakic you for another thing. I can force you to swear now on the Karkos as well.
Why is that better than Dummy?
Why is it what?
Better than Dummy?
No, because over here it means what it says. The Mishnah means Sada. The Mishnah means Eved. Except that a Sada usually comes with additional things. The Eved usually comes with additional things. Now they're questioning the value of those additional things. So since we have to swear about that, we're going to have to swear about the other part. Still we have a problem. Ksut, even the ksut doesn't matter because one Eved wears a 38 suit and one Eved wears a 48 suit. And here is where Rapapa said his original chat. It's talking about Yalfi suits. When they're at a market booth. Good for weight loss or gain.
One size fits all.
They do have those zips. Yeah, those pants that zip. Calculate Ripshatius. Ripshatius was bothered by this shot because then the Mishnah essentially would be coming to tell us something that has nothing to do with the issues of the Sumpkas or anything of the things that we're talking about over here. It would be coming to tell me the din of Zolkikin. Meaning that once you're going to be Nishvan Metaltalim, you'll be Nishvan Karkos. But that's a problem, because that's a Beferish of Mishnah. So ask Ripshatius. Calculate Ripshatius. Zolkikin has the Lashmina. What, the Tana over here is coming now to tell me a mission in the middle of Bava Metzia to tell me the Din of Zolkikin, when we know that that's a Beferish Mishnah in Shluas. And we've discussed numerous times, even here in Bava Metzia, that Zolkikin and Rechazim she'en le'machrayut, that the Nechazim she'esh le'machrayut, mishavarayim. That you do have to swear on Nechazim she'esh le'machrayut, which is real property, which would include Karka and Avani, if, anyway, you have to swear on the Metaltalim. It's a type of Gilgul Shvuah. It's right. We just use the concept of Zok, it means because it mezakes you to swear on the Gilgul Shvuah. So it forces you. So that doesn't make sense to say that that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Therefore, Ripshatius rejects both pshatim of Rav Shmuel and Shmuel with Rabosha's amendment over here. And he says it's going according to Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah holds that you swear on Avadim. And Avadim are like Metaltalim. Now, of course, that only handles half of the problem. Because he's also making an assumption that if you swear on Avadim, you swear on Karkos. Because the Mishnah also did mention Sodos. But we'll get to that. So it's going according to the Meir, who holds that an Eved is Metaltalim. Okay, fine. So you handled one out of three questions. I mean, you still have the other two questions. I mean, Akati Masha Ta'ano Lo Hodalo, Masha Hodalo Lo Ta'ano. I mean, it's still obviously Joe is not half a Jack, even though he's half his weight. And Sevelach Rebbe Gamliel, in that, it also is not only Rebbe Meir, it's also Rebbe Meir according to Rebbe Gamliel. Gamliel holds, and in the case of Ta'ano Chitim Vodasa Orim, that you would be fired. It's none. Ta'ano Chitim Vodasa Orim Patur. Rabbi Gamliel Mechayev. So since according to Rabbi Gamliel, Chayev Shua. So since according to Rabbi Gamliel, speaking about two separate entities, nonetheless is Mechayev you a motive of mixus because we look at the value of the entities, not at the specific nature of the entities. So if Joe is half the size of Jack, so then essentially it was a question of a 250-pound Evan, strong man Evan, or was it that 135-pound weakling Evan?
And this answers Mashatan Nohodula.
Right, because according to Rabbi Gamliel, you don't need Mashatan Nohodula. You look only at the value. Still, what about the third problem? Third problem was you were talking about Hela. Because you're giving him the thing that you claimed it was all about. Amarava is talking about the case of an eved. It's talking about that you cut the hand off of the eved. Rasada is talking about that you were kofir bo'barot shekhinu me'arod. You messed it up. So now, so you're not giving it, then you're now discussing what type of monetary compensation is going to have to be made for, ah, now wait a second, monetary compensation, that already involves you in a shvur. Okay. Now, there's only one minor problem with this, and that is that Rebbe Meir ostensibly says that you can swear on Avodim because of the Talmud. Well, unfortunately, he says just the opposite. If you steal an animal but then gets old, Avodim Yiskina, Mishalem Kishata Gizela, the Rabbanim say you pay according to the time of the Gizela because this is a Shinui. And therefore you were Kone, and you have to pay back, as do all Gazlanim, Mishata Gzeva, Kishata Gzeva. Rebbe Meir Omer? No. Ba'avadim Omer lo ha'resho chalafanecha. Since an Eved cannot be stolen, because undoubtedly because of like Karkos, and it's like a Karkos, the original owner remains the owner, even though it's not within his Rishos. So that means that the Eved got old in the Rishos of the original owner, and he could say, ha'resho chalafanecha. So obviously, Rebbe Meir does not hold that Avodim are considered to be metalpilin, because if he did, then he should say you'd have to take a shot back as a law. Well, that's not much of a problem. As you know, Rabba Bar Avua switches around the Shitot to that Mishnah, and he says, Rebbe Meir omer mishalim kishat back as a law, because Avodim can be stolen, and the Chachomim say, when it comes to Avodim, you say, ha'resho chalafanecha. Okay, yeah, but I mean, what about the Eved case? You're assuming that because that's what he holds about an Eved, that that's what he would hold about Karka? Elami might discover Rebbe Meir Makshin and Karka Eved. Why are you making the assumption that the Eved and the Karka are the same, and that just like an Eved, Nishba'in, Av Karka Nishba'in, which would explain why in our mission, in the case of Soda, we're also Nishba, maybe we only are Nishba and Eved, but on Karka we're not Nishba. No, no, you can't say that, because it says in the Braisa, and Machlif Parad Chamor V'Yalda, Ramocher Shivchato V'Yalda, Zelmer Bereshuti V'Zer Shotek, Zakha, Zelmer Eini Yodea V'Zelmer Eini Yodea, Yachloko, Zelmer Bereshuti V'Zelmer Bereshuti, Mishava Hamocher Shivchato V'Yalda, V'Vishikol HaNishpon Shivatora Nishpon V'Lo Misham, Bim Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir here says, so far it doesn't prove anything about Rebbe Meir, but Rebbe Meir here says that in such a case, you swear, you don't pay, and you pot to yourself. Chachamim say, no, ein nishba'im lo ala avadim, velo ala karka'ot. Now, what does this have to do with Rebbe Meir? I mean, obviously, when the Chachamim say you don't swear on avadim or on karka'ot, they were responding to what Rebbe Meir said. And they knew that Rebbe Meir held that this was applying, apparently, both to avadim and karka'ot. So therefore, they said to Rebbe Meir, no, you don't swear on avadim and karka'ot. Mechval, the Rebbe Meir, Savar, came this way. Apparently, according to Rebbe Meir, you do swear then on both avadim and on karka'ot. So you see that he holds that the limitations on shvua that the Chachamim hold don't apply. Not to Eved, not to Karka, which explains why in our Mishnah, when they're arguing about either Eved Gadol versus Eved Kruppner, or Sada Gadol versus Eved Kruppner, why Rebbe Meir would say that you are Nishbayim. As far as Masha Hodalo, Lotano, and so on. Regarding that, we're going like Rebbe Gamliel, Sassano Chitim, and so on. As far as it being a case of Halak, it's talking about Miktah Yadah. It's talking about where he dug Baruch Shekhinah Ma'arot. So now we understand our Mishnah. No, not necessarily. I mean, how do you know that the Rabbanan are saying that Rebbe Meir, how can you say you swear on Avodim and Karkos? Maybe the Chachamim are saying like this, Rebbe Meir, the same way that, of course, you also agree that you don't swear on Karkos, you should agree that we compare Avodim to Karkos. Maybe that's what they're saying. To deal with the shame column, maybe what they're saying is in the same way, namely, the thing is followed. Ki heisa do jisal on the karkaot, the same way that you would agree to us when it comes to karka, that you're not nishboin ala karkaot, odol nami vi avadim. Why don't you agree to us when it comes to avadim? Pay that. And I'll show you that this, by the way, is the fact. And according to Rebbe Meir, you do not swear on karkaot, even though you may change the girsa and have him swearing on avadim. You would not swear on karkaot because we see we have a machlokas. Where in the Mishnah, Rebbe Meir said, Yesh devarim, she'in kekarka, ve'inan kekarka, ve'in kachamim odim lo. There are some things that are like karka, at least in terms of their physical setup, but they don't have the limitations of karka. The Chachamim don't agree. What exactly am I referring to? Suppose two people are arguing about the number of gefanim teunot, meaning that they're full now of grapes. Right? So one says, I had given you over 10 vines that were full of grapes. And the other one says, no, only 5 vines that were full of grapes. In that case, Rebbe Meir says, this is a classical case in which you have to pray, you have to make a shvua, because it's a motive of mitzvah. Now, even though these vines are connected to the ground, and therefore they're karka, but they're not like karka. Why? So explains Rebbe Yossi. Om Rebbe Yossi Barakanina, the case of the, and the Chachamim argue, and they say, call them a kubala karka, reyoki karka. In this case, you don't swear, because it is karka. So now, Rabbi Yosef, can you explain the machlokes? We're talking about anavima omdot libatzer, ikabimai. They're arguing about grapes that are adjusted to the stage where they could be collected. And marsavar kibitzuro, danya, Rabbi Meir holds such things are considered to be, for all intents and purposes, collected because they no longer need the vine. So they're already harvested. They're picked. Right. Marsavar lot kibitzuro, danya. So what do you see? That according to Rabbi Meir, you definitely would not swear on karka. The only question is, whether grapes that are about to be picked are considered karka.
They're not picked, but they're going to be picked.
Right.
We're going to make wine out of them.
Whatever you have to do. Oh, the wine? What do you pick them for? They don't need the one vine anymore. Mm-hmm. What is this? Once you don't need the vine, it's not Mekubal
LeKarka.
Yeah. But you see, the Rebbe Meir would agree that if, in fact, they were Mekubal LeKarka and they weren't about to be picked, you would not. You would agree. You don't swear. So you see that we're right in suggesting that Rebbe Meir, even if you want to change the gears and say that Rebbe Meir holds that on Avodah you do swear, he certainly doesn't hold on Karka. You swear. And our Mishnah is talking about a case of Karka and Avodah, two separate cases, Sodik Gedolah, Sodik Tana, which leaves us to the mercies of Rav's Pshat or Shmuel's Pshat or Ravosha's Pshat. But we certainly can't come along and say that it's coming from Rebbe Meir. So this doesn't work. Hello, Leolam Kiravosha. Then let's go back. Let's reverse Rav Osha's shot, which was the best of the three, because at least it speaks to the language of the Mishnah. It's talking about Avodin. It's talking about Sodom. And the reason that you have to swear is because we're talking about swearing about the value of the Ksut that's involved, or of the Omerim. Now, I understand Rav Sheshet's question was, so what would that be doing here? Why would I need to hear about Zokikim and that's the Parish of Mishnah and then Shmuel? Because we do need that, you see. Because Salkabek Amina Ksut Evet Ke'evet Zamin Omre Sada Kesoda Zamin. It's all very nice to say that if I'm making a shvua anyway on a suit that involves metaltalim, that I will also get you to swear on other elements of the suit that include karka. But over here, the transaction is a transaction of karka. It happens to be the karka includes elements on it. So can I separately engage you in a shvua on those elements when I cannot engage you on the shvua? Ritzi, on the karka itself? You'll say to me, okay, well, fine. The $300 million property, I understand. We can't have an Ishban. But what about the $10,000 worth of grain that was on it? Oh, come on, man. I mean, let's decide what the dispensation is regarding the karka, and we'll talk about that. But that's what I would have thought. Comes along the Gemara to say that we can view that as a separate suit, and that we could turn the absolutely unessential part, in other words, the secondary element of the suit, and turn that into the primary element, force you to swear on that, and then have you swear on the karka too. So that's a good issue. That doesn't follow necessarily directly from the Mishnah of Zokikim. Continue the Mishnah to say, Zeomer en yodea, Zeomer en yodea, Yachlok. Okay, so now again, this is following apparently Sumpris who holds, Hamani Sumpris, Yamar Mamona Mutab Safed Chokin. But then, how do you explain the fact that it says, Zeomer Bershuti, Zeomer Bershuti, Mishava Hamoker Shabershuto Yalda? How does that follow? That's not true according to Sumpris, is it? I mean, at least. It's not true on Liber Rabba Bar Avuna. Rabba Bar Avuna said, "In Amar Sumpas Afilu Bori Vobori Sama Yishava." Why should the Moser swear that it was in his Rishos? He should, according to Sumpas, say Yakwoku, because this is a case of Bori Vobori. Each one claiming he gave birth in my Rishos, and we just said before that according to Sumpas, the way Rabba Bar Avuna was learning, even in a case of Bori Vobori, Sumpas would hold Yakwoku. And here is the basis of what we had earlier said. What we said is we are about to see that if there's a case in which there's a shruti license involved, then Sumpas would never have said it. This is what we're referring to. It says the Gemara, Moda Sumpas, Heika, Deika, Shavua Diraisa. Moda Sumpas agrees that if we're talking about a case of a shruti Diraisa, then certainly with the shruti Diraisa is what defines the din, not the Yachloko. Ah, you'll say, but it isn't a case of Shvua, because we have a case of Halach over here. Right? So what are you going to do with that? It's talking about the cut on the other. It's talking about that you cut off the hand, in which case it's a motive of mitzvah, and therefore the Shvua is not a Halach, because obviously we're going to have to deal with the monetary implications. My having damaged the vlad. And in dealing with the monetary implications, we're dealing with the motive of a mitzvah. It's not a halach. Because there is no halach. That's not what I got. That's not what I bought. I damaged another enemy. That's not what I bought from. And the melee, in that case, Sumpas never said, Yach Loko. That's where the Torah addressed what to do. And the Torah said, Shvua, the motive of a mitzvah.
If he then does, hand to the mocher, why do